Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
Part two, part two. And I just heard Poodle go number two because he left the door open.
Don't
he
say said, that.
Poodle said, I got to go to the bathroom. And bless his heart, y'all, Poodle's drinking Gatorade and he's living on a prayer for this show because he knows y'all need it.
Oh, I still don't feel well. I'm doing my best.
And you know,
doing my best.
I told him I'm going to be in LA next week and over the 4th of July holiday for just a few days for us to work. And that's when he's going to be feeling better and he won't be able to have sex because he'll be busy with me and he'll just be a raging bitch.
Probably.
Great. Great.
You put it out there.
Oh, boy. Y'all, welcome to Reality Gaze.
Hello.
I'm Maddie, a.k.a. Matt Maher, and my sickly but present co-host.
I'm frail.
Frail is
tiny and frail.
Poodle, a.k.a. Jake Anthony.
Hi, everybody.
happy to be here. Happy to be here. If you're joining us on the video for Intimate Portrait, you're watching us right now. You're seeing that Poodle looks pale.
And you're in a dark room. It looks like you're like some kind of incel gamer.
It's kind of true. My dad's, you know, the media, the TV watching room. So it's not
that, that makes sense why it's dark.
Yeah, it's a dark room, but yes, it does look. If you squint your eyes, you can see the popcorn machine in the background.
Where's the urinal?
You know, it fell off when I moved the popcorn machine because I decorated my dad's for Father's Day. I decorated my dad loves baseball, y'all. So I decorated his, this little den area. This is the last place I could decorate because his ex-wife took everything. And so it was just shit everywhere in here and he didn't want to come in here. He didn't want to go in the living room either, but I decorated that and everything. And then he's like, oh, this feels homey. And then feels like a home. So I did a whole baseball theme in here. And so, because he loves baseball.
His ex-wife took everything, so it really doesn't feel like his house.
She took the fire alarm off the wall. Said she didn't have one.
Wow. That's
so there's just
very
a hole
cringy.
In the wall. Yes. You know, you asked my dad, what's worse, cancer or your ex-wife? And he said, I take cancer any day. Dead serious.
He's made some questionable choices in life partners.
Oh, y'all, if I was living here when she lived here, well, they would have gotten divorced because it would have been, I would have gone Mar on her.
I don't think you would have been living here because she would have been expected to take care of him.
No, I had to come back when he had back surgery because she didn't take it. You know, we should talk about something else. I'm drinking a vodka and you got me with loose lips. And I had a beer when I was at Caddo Street Barbecue. Mention you're a sissy and you'll get 10% off in Ardmore.
Boy, we've been going to that barbecue place a lot lately. Got a punch card yet?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move.
I'm sitting here sipping my chicken broth. I do look pale, actually. I'm wan. I'm absolutely wan.
God help me. I found out. Do you know, y'all, because if we're sissies, you're not going to hear this until the July 4th. So have a wonderful
July 4th.
Yeah, because the next time this show is our last show that airs before July 4th.
July 4th.
We're putting a show on Sunday night, actually on July 4th. But I just found this out tonight.
Tonight.
Do you know who is coming to Ardmore for the 4th of July holiday to do a concert?
Ray Stevens.
Close. First of all, they're not even Ardmore.
Oh, yes, they call him the streak.
No, but it's actually, just north of Ardmore, there's a town called Springer. You just drive up Highway 70.
I don't need to know how to get there.
Just go like,
I don't need to know how to get there.
This person is coming to Ardmore on 4th of July and performing in a field. And 30,000 people have already purchased tickets. I want you to guess who it is.
Oh, God. I don't know.
So it's not Ray Stevens. Get another guess.
Some person who's a big Trumper.
No, I don't think so. No.
So it's one person. Willie Nelson?
Wrong genre of music. I'll give you a hint. It's not country. It's rap.
Vanilla Ice.
Cool. No.
I don't know.
Y'all.
What kind of rap?
I'll give you another hint. He's currently in Corona commercials.
Is Drake in Corona commercials?
No, he's in Allstate. They're also. I'll give you a last hint.
Boy, I'm bad at this.
Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
If you want to go and take a ride with me.
No, that's Nelly? A different song. I'm singing Gin and Juice.
Oh.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg's coming to Ardmore?
Snoop Dogg is coming to... I'm not going to be here on July 4th, or I actually probably would go, because it's outside, and I've got my shot. But Snoop Dogg is coming to Ardmore. Apparently, a pot dispensary with a shit ton of money has paid him. And y'all, Springer is a town of like 1,100 people, and he is going to do a concert in a field in the middle of Ardmore, Oklahoma.
Old people are going to be sitting down on their porches going... I think we got a lot of foreigners coming in here.
I mean, 30,000 people have already bought. Y'all, the town of Ardmore is only 26,000.
The whole town is going to actually like smoke, if you saw on the map.
Yeah, it's just.
The whole town is just going to be one big like contact high.
I think that's wonderful.
That is so strange.
Snoop Dogg, everybody loves Snoop Dogg too. Who doesn't, you know?
I'm not saying
I'm like an aficionado of his music, but would you hang out with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, I like it that they're friends.
Yes. Anyway, maybe Martha will come.
Doubtful.
I don't think so.
I don't know if she leaves New England very often.
I don't think so. Anyway, y'all. Get your tickets.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. If you're in Ardmore, get your tickets to Snoop.
If you're in Ardmore, and go to Caddo Street Barbecue and get 10% off, tell them you're a sissy. You get a discount. I don't know if it's 10%, but you get something. Just wait till you go on the tour and you'll get it for free.
One more time, I need to see some ad revenue.
You know, all this will be fine once Poodle gives free food, because you know it's interesting. I will do things for free food, but I will be like, oh, you know, okay, you want to work, you want to take like 2 hours of my time. Okay, for 2 hours, I'll get free food. Whatever. You would work like do something for 8 hours a day, and if somebody says we give you free dinner, you would go, yes.
Depends on what it is.
You love free food.
I do like the idea of being fed. Not when someone feeds me, not feeds me literally, but feeds me.
Gross.
Without having to pay.
We should move on.
Feed me more. Announcements. I think one thing I would want to say is, you guys, if you haven't heard, we're doing Below Deck Med.
Yep.
The new season comes out on the 28th.
Which is a Monday night.
We'll be dropping those shows on Tuesday.
So our new schedule, just so y'all know, on the free feed is Sunday night now. We bumped it up a day. Sunday night, 90 Day Fiancé Part 1 will air. Monday night, 90 Day Fiancé Part 2. And then Tuesday night will be Below Deck Mediterranean.
That's the big news, I think.
That's the big news. Allie Forney Center, LGBT.
It's our charity for the month.
Q+ Youth Center in New York, helping homeless, queer, rainbow youth. So be sure to give to them if you're in the Sissy Squad. And if not, go to the
money. It's a great charity.
Go to the website. I think, y'all, Too Hot to Handle. It's exciting.
That's what we need to talk about.
We're having fun. They're real.
It's an if to both of those for me.
But to me, I just like turning my brain off when I watch this
show.
It's,
you know what? I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see what goes on. We've dropped two episodes so far when we have seen this. Yeah.
I think it's going to get better. The people are way sluttier than last year, which is good.
And everyone seems just dumber. So I think they're going to be able to pull a lot over on these idiots. Like when they said, a very special VIP person is coming. And they're like, wait, is Ariana Grande going to be here?
Like, oh my God, Beyonce. But you know what? After Snoop Dogg showing up in Springer, Oklahoma, who knows? Who knows?
Is it going to be Drake? Yeah. Drake's going to show up on your Netflix reality show.
You know what? If you pay us enough to do a live show, we'll go to Sandusky 3 nights. Just pay us.
That'd take a lot of money.
But we do it.
A lot of money.
Exactly.
And I would need to have my meals brought in from a nearby town.
We don't care. Give us the money. We'll do a Q&A in Hayes, Kansas.
I don't know where that is. Is that a place?
It is a place. My Aunt Karen was from there.
That just sounds remote.
No, I don't care. We'll do
like
it.
Like us right now, remote yet goat.
Remote yet goat.
Should we start just jumping in the show? I don't know why I'm talking like this.
Hi there. Yeah, let's jump into the show.
So I think we are to Nathalie and Mike.
And Mike and Nathalie. Y'all.
And I found pickles. Y'all, nothing's really gotten better.
No.
Weirdly, things start to, and then they fall apart again. I think we're getting close to the beginning of the end. Because I think she's leaving soon. We've seen her when they showed this season on Happily Ever After. We see her leaving and packing all her shit.
Yes.
And the conventional wisdom out there is she's gone. She's not living with him anymore.
She's gone. Your baby's gone.
It's interesting because I was like, she's gone. All out. What a winner. Oh, no. I went there. I don't know the other one you were singing.
I was singing Down Came a Blackbird on Maddie's Honkin' Talkin' Mix on Spotify. Be sure to check that out.
Boy.
Hey, you know what?
You are pimping that,
We
too.
Should mention, y'all, it's Gay Pride. And if you don't have on Spotify, Poodle's Gay
Club Glitter Mix.
Say it right. Gay.
I think it's Poodle's Gay Club Glitter Mix.
Yeah,
I think.
Poodle's Gay Club Glitter Volume 1 and Volume 2. If you don't have that for Gay Pride for y'all, then you're not living.
It is the best kind of like 90s, early 2000s club jams that you heard when you were like blotto out of your mind when you were dancing so your gay friend could get fingered in the bathroom. That just got real for a lot of you.
You said that, and I immediately just smelled bathroom disinfectant.
That was a sense memory for me,
too. Yeah, I really was like, woo! I could see the lighting and everything.
It's like 30 minutes before you start crying, and then an hour before you went and got nachos.
I was literally saying an hour before you went to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Or Taco Cabana, because we were in Texas.
All those songs will bring that right back to you. I'm not sure if you really want it, but
anyway.
Rhythm is a dancer.
I gotta okay, y'all. Natalie says what she always says. I just wanted to say I'm sorry because I don't want to fight.
No, What are you doing? We have to still cover. You're going ahead again. We have to totally cover.
What did I skip? That's the first thing I had.
No, with the woman Juliana and all the pickle stuff. And all of them talking.
No, yeah, that's what, but I'm saying she said, no, but she's, no, I was bringing up, she said this twice in this episode where she just said sorry because she didn't want to fight. She said this at the very beginning.
Oh.
And then she goes to have dinner with Juliana.
She wasn't talking about, she was talking to him. That was confessional.
She was talking about the fight before in Oklahoma. She said sorry.
Got it.
No, sorry, that's what I was bringing up is that, and she says this later too, she just keeps saying she's sorry because she doesn't want to deal with Mike and.
And what and if I don't know whoever said if no, whatever was a person,
whatever is a person, then whatever. We're just if you're watching us or mm. you're not watching, we're just doing our lips and kind of shrugging our shoulders right now.
He did. We had that face so much.
He does. We had a sissy who just said, "Will y'all come to London to do a live show?" We will.
I would love to.
Love that. We're gonna do that.
London calling.
Hello, London. It's reality, guys.
No, don't do that.
I would fit in.
They'll lock you in the Tower of London if you pull that shit. Well,
with all the jewels.
Are there jewels in the Tower of London?
Yeah, that's what it is. I went there. It's the crown jewels are all there.
That's right. No, I was just thinking about the people who've been locked up in there.
Y'all, if you have never seen
two princes.
If yes, it's true. Yeah, they rebranded. They rebranded. They did. They really rebranded it.
Literally, when I think of the Tower of London, I think about the people who were kept there.
They changed it from one of the worst torture places ever in the history of modern world to a jewel museum. You're right.
The jewels are there. I forgot about that.
You know, I went and I thought, this is going to be hokey. And it was kind of, y'all, if you've never seen the crown jewels, it's kind of incredible.
Yeah, it's, well, also think about where they stole those from and in their colonial history.
Think about the blood diamonds on that one.
I know.
So,
diamonds.
What did that, so anyway, y'all, so she's there with her friend Juliana and she's like, it's her only friend.
They met online. Juliana's Russian.
Yes.
I assume that these, because they're having a traditional kind of Russian and Ukrainian meal, Juliana is wearing traditional Russian clothes.
She's wearing traditional Russian clothes.
And Natalie is wearing the traditional hoodie panda that she bought at some fucking zoo.
Yeah, she puts on a wreath later. But because it was confusing, because I thought, is her friend just eclectic with her clothes choices?
I know, I was confused too.
It's Seattle, whatever.
You never know.
Possibly. And so, but they're cooking dinner, and then Natalie says she's worried because she's going to have surgery on her nose. And she says,
she's causing me lots of pain. I can't breathe.
She's having breathing problems, which I'm sure everything breathes. Question.
Yeah.
Is she just getting a nose job?
I wasn't going to say it. But there are people who.
I've had sinus surgery. I can say it.
Actually have. And that's the nose they gave you?
And I've.
That could have thinned that out a little bit. What'd you say? I want the Ed Asner?
You need to move on. Ed Asner was an up, and he's a very wonderful actor.
No, I'm sorry, the Carl Malden. That's the big no.
He's dead.
He is. Isn't Ed Asner dead? He might still be alive.
No, he's really active on Twitter, and he's hilarious.
Good for him.
And sassy. It's great.
So I can't speculate whether she just wants a nose job or not. Now, she has had it done. Because all of her photos and her nose is much slender, much more slender.
Oh, it is. Yeah. So
I'm sure she had them take a little off the top when she was there.
Maybe it was for breathing problems, but possibly. She says, because insurance doesn't cover everything. And I'm like, when I had sinus surgery for breathing problems and they almost fixed I had a slight deviated septum and they were going to fix it. Insurance would cover 100% of that.
If she could get the doctor to say, now come at us medical sissies and medical coding and building and billing. Come at us. I feel like if there was an actual problem.
Medical problem,
insurance would cover all of it. Mike's got an actual job.
Yeah, and they're married, so she's on his insurance, so.
It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That insurance, and she says it's very expensive because insurance doesn't cover it all.
But maybe we're speaking from a place of privilege. A lot of people have insurance, and it still doesn't cover everything.
It's true.
So.
But it is his employment insurance.
But yeah, it should, yeah.
It's not Cobra.
No.
Anyway, so, and he's saying she's afraid he's going to say they can't afford it because he has debt. He has bank debt. And the big deal is she has not told him that they've talked about the surgery, but she has not told him that she has scheduled it.
And which makes me think, again, it's elective.
Yeah.
Because I think if it was like a surgery she needed.
I think it might have been because of COVID that they weren't sure when they were going to do it.
Oh, possibly.
But I think there's something about, you're right. Something feels like it does feel a little bit like she could schedule it.
Like, y'all, when I have my forehead lift, I'm going to say, well, they had to do it just because I wasn't getting enough light in my eyes.
It's like when it's like a Shih Tzu's face. It just crumples down.
Yeah, and actually, I won't say that. I'll just say that I got it. Poodle will be the one that says, well, I couldn't
medical
see.
Issues.
That actually will be Poodle, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, y'all, when I get my facelift, Jake's going to ridicule me about it. And then a month later, we're going to be doing a show. And I'll say, you know, I don't know where Jake is. He said he was going to go to, like, Thailand or, you know, South Korea for a vacation. I haven't seen him in 3 weeks. And then you come back.
I'm going to come in with people won't even recognize me. I'm going to Renee Zellweger that shit. Yeah,
you're going to just totally have a medical concierge service. Do all of that.
Look like a ventriloquist dummy.
Exactly.
Everything's full back.
Exactly.
If I do anything, it's going to have to be very subtle because I like my face the way it is. I still look young. Nod your head and say yes.
Your face is fine. You don't have to look at it constantly like I do.
No, I have to look in the mirror all the time. Literally, my face is right there in front of me.
I'm just saying. Be nice for me.
Anyway, I have lots of things to fix about your face. So she tells him, So she's scheduled the surgery, and it is a big deal because they talked about it, but she's afraid that even if she scheduled it, he won't want to be involved. Which I think is projecting a lot onto Mike.
Ding, 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 ding. Because it's kind of like, where did you get all this from? At least from what we've seen on the show.
It's kind of the first time I'm siding with Natalie this season. Or siding with Mike this season.
No, because let's just talk about Mike shows up. He comes to dinner and
brings flowers.
Again, Natalie does a thing where she's so fake surprised by everything, like it's brand new.
Oh, right.
Oh, love. Oh, how beautiful.
Isn't
he gorgeous?
It's beautiful.
Flowers, love. I'm like, he got them from Publix. They were $6.99. It's a fine gesture. But
you don't lose your mind.
This isn't a bouquet of the roses from Beauty and the Beast.
So she said, cut pickles.
Cut pickles.
So she's telling him about, she does, because her friend, who I think is a little bit of a nudge and like should not get involved.
Well, I've never heard that term nudge.
Nudge is a Yiddish term.
Oh. Meaning like a nosy being, person?
Yeah, just being a pest.
Okay.
Obnoxious. Getting into other people's behavior.
Maybe I have heard that word, but under people's breath, whispered behind me. Wait a minute. We need to move on.
Yeah, it's just an unpleasant person. Someone, a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudgenik. She's asking things that she has no right to, especially because she's just met Mike tonight.
And
she basically says the friend butts in and Juliana asks about the surgery and she tells Mike and basically she says, well, I guess I need to request a day off then. So the fallout doesn't really happen. Also, I think she's doing it so he, because she's afraid how he's going to act, which I'm sure he flashes nasty stuff. So maybe she thought
some of that.
Maybe she thought this was the way to do it.
I think this was totally, she wants to fight with him. She wants to fight with him and she wants him to act like shit on camera. Mm-hmm. So that way she feels validated for leaving him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's already left him in her head.
Exactly. She's gone. She's totally gone. And so Mike has a totally normal, like, comforting of, like you said, well, I want to take off work because I want to be there for you. If you're going to have surgery, I want to be there. And she doesn't know what to say. She's just kind of like looking like.
Mm. And the friend is kind of like, wait, that didn't make you blink? Okay, how about this? Sounds like it's really dangerous. Why haven't you been blah, 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 Mike? He's like, I'll do anything, you know, that she wants. I love her and it's a health thing. So money's no object as long as she's healthy. So I don't know if the money, I don't know if the money was ever an issue.
I'm doing Natalie's face right now.
Oh, it was. She was just, that was exactly what it was.
Love.
So
Mike is like, yes, this makes sense. You're having surgery. And Juliana's like, I think you guys need to speak more with communication. And Mike goes, that's what I've been saying the whole time. Whatever. Whatever.
I think they like to use the term communication, but it usually just means one of them yelling at the other.
So a lot of people, when they say the word communication, well, Poodle, what is your definition of communication?
Me asking someone if they want a towel before they leave my house.
I'm sorry I asked. right when I asked. But y'all, communication
is... hopefully they leave soon after I bring them a wet towel.
You know, wow.
Wow. That's called good communication. For me, honestly, it is feeling like trying to figure out I know how to talk and understand that person and understand how to effectively talk with that person. Mm-hmm. That where it won't feel like that person is either keeping things from me or that person is actually being honest with me about how they are feeling. Or in other words, it's kind of breaking down barriers so you feel like you can trust one another.
Well, yes, because communicate even does. I was trying to look it up, but I couldn't find it. But I'm just guessing. Does communicate come from the word like communion? I'm assuming.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, same roots. If you think about communion, it is a coming together in not necessarily agreeing, but a coming together, whether it's fellowship or understanding. I think a lot of people, when they say communicate, they just want. That they said, when they say you have bad communications, what they're really saying is you're not seeing my point. You're not agreeing with me at all. That's not what communication is about.
You're not talking to me the right way. Yeah.
And I think, do you think Mike wants a coming together of both of their ideas, or do you think he wants more of the real communication?
Here's what he wants, and it bugs the shit out of him that he doesn't get from her. When she gets sullen and quiet, because that's not how he behaves. When she just gets quiet, that may be Ukrainian and cultural for her. I don't know. She kind of seems like a white walker sometimes. It is it is just silence and those eyes. And I think she has her inner life is so vivid that things that she doesn't say, I'm sure. But I think, and that is a fundamental thing, and I don't think she'll ever understand that. For her, communication is, I think for her, she would rather not really communicate. She'd rather everything be great and things be kind of under the surface.
You think that's what Natalie, because I don't think Mike, in a way, I think they both kind of want the same things maybe as we're talking, because I don't think Mike wants true communication. I think he wants everything to be okay too, but they just want it to be okay the way that they want.
It's but like he's so insecure. He's worried about what she's thinking at all the times. And but that he will bothers never, him.
He will never acknowledge that anxiety. Y'all, no. Mike could watch, he could watch a puppy get ran over by a truck and go, wow, that's sad. Wait, is this Chinese buffet night? Let's go. Like, that's Mike. He's just so... I'm not saying he won't feel it. I'm saying he doesn't allow himself to feel it.
I agree with that. I think
and that drives her crazy because she's all feeling. That's all she is. But she's a walking nerve.
In a weird way, though, it's hard for her to. And I don't know if it's a language thing. I think it's like it's a weird way. She's not willing. She's willing to share parts of herself. But I think if she thinks she shares all of herself, no one will love her. No one will really.
That's a great point.
So she's trying to be something for everyone.
Well, remember, she's an actor.
Right.
Remember, she wants people to see what she wants.
And I think Mike is the other way. He wants all of it because he's got so little.
Why don't you take all of me?
Can't you see? I'm no good without you.
If you haven't seen All of Me with fucking Steve Martin, that's one of the best comedic movies ever. It's such a good movie.
I've seen it so long ago.
I love that movie so, where his body gets possessed by a woman. It's so fantastically good.
I haven't seen that in so long.
Oh.
I just knew it. I think it's a Cole Porter song.
I think it is Cole Porter.
But Frank Sinatra did it. That was.
Because Natalie even says, like, she's like, Mike says he's being supportive, but I don't trust he'll change his mind. Now, I agree with Natalie why she doesn't trust Mike.
She's been really fucked over by him.
He's been really fucked over a lot. And what makes people's feelings feel better? Having them work on a car and learn how to change the oil.
I'm not defending him when I say this. He literally thinks it's really important that she learns this. I'm going to be doing her a favor to do this. This is why they are so different, and they're the worst people for one another.
This is what I wrote. This is the moment of them when I know we've said this, but where I felt y'all have no business being with one another because you're completely different people with different goals, different values, different wants. Y'all, Natalie has no desire to do this. She doesn't want to do this. Don't make someone you love do shit.
Now, because they need to learn.
If it's like your husband doesn't love mowing the lawn and you usually do it, but he'll do it when you don't want to do it, that's different. She has no, and I'm the same way, y'all. If you love me, I don't want to learn how to change the oil on a car. I don't want to learn all this shit. The shit my dad wants me to do and goes with him, and I do this stuff
now.
I'm
never going to change my oil. Yeah, I'm never going to do that.
I did it when I was younger because my dad taught me because he likes doing that kind of stuff.
Right.
I don't want to spend my, and I don't look down on anybody that does it. I don't want to do it. And if this just shows, if Mike, and this isn't on Natalie, it's on Mike too. If they actually knew one another and she just wasn't his Ukrainian fantasy sex doll thing, that's what he wanted and he's trying to make a reality. If he actually knew her, he would never ask her to do this because he knows that's not what she wants to do.
But he's kind of, in a way, he's smartly, like a fox, made it about being American, and she's obsessed with everything American. Basically saying, oh, American girls can do anything.
Well, this is where we are. Yeah, she is. This is where we are now. He's trying to make her feel inadequate and make her so upset that she just finally leaves and makes her feel like she's crazy where she just leaves. And she's trying to get him to yell and scream at her so that way they both are looking for ways to end it so they don't have to end it.
I agree. I think that's been going on since she got to America.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Righty-tighty, lefty-loosey.
That's
what they call Poodle in college, lefty-loosey, y'all. There goes lefty-loosey.
Hey, boys. I'd rather you use my given name, Lucille, but I'll take it.
I'll take it. Ain't righty and it ain't tidy.
Ain't tight anymore.
It goes left and it goes loose.
Definitely not right.
Mike, when he's like, well, yep, you got to get dirty. The American dream. No, you don't.
No, you know what my American dream is? Making enough money so I can pay someone to do that. And I'm completely fine with that.
Well, I think making, and what that is like the American dream, which is what people are sold on, is that you come to this country to be able to do what you want, to like live a life of your choice. This is not Natalie's choice.
No, and I don't know. I don't think, I don't know even if America is real to her in that way. I think it is because she just thinks in these kind of non-realities of what America is and what she can do. And I want to be actress. I want to work for a TV station. Well, I want to do this. And
she, and in Mike's defense, even in Oklahoma with Hooker, I don't know if that's, we don't think that's true. I think Natalie jumped to a conclusion.
There's no way her mother called her a hooker.
Y'all, Butter's not that dumb. And this
she's shrewd as a motherfucker.
And this is a perfect example because Mike says, well, why didn't you tell me about it and discuss it with me? And she's like, well, I knew you would close fight and I wanted to avoid it. And
she said she did tell him. The problem is she won't admit that she scheduled it. And she's afraid that it's going to sound like she's being, she's like a woman to take all of his money. So yes. She.
And also she says, when he
it's
says.
It's for like, my health. It's for my health.
Yeah. But when he says, well, why do you, she jumps to, it's for my health. Why can't, you don't want me to have this surgery. And he's like, no, I'm not saying this at all.
And I said, both, the thing about it is, and they every argument they have, you guys, it could be said that both things can be true. Every single time, they're arguing about two different things, almost always. Like, Mike's usually, what he's saying is true, and what Natalie is saying is true, but they're on different planets. They're not even talking about the same thing.
Communication is acknowledging those things they're saying. Right. She basically is just trying to, she's just trying to trap him in a fight. That's it.
But I was saying the
Mike even says, I'm not looking for an apology. I just want to talk. I can't believe I'm agreeing with Mike so much this episode.
The things that are true here is that Natalie's health is a priority, is true. And it is also true that she should have told him that she scheduled the surgery. And if they could somehow meet and talk about those two things that are true and agree, and then work from the inside out. But that's the thing. They can't. Oh, it bugs the fuck out of me.
I'm done with them.
I've been done. I've been done for two seasons.
I mean, I'm done with this. Yeah, that's all I have for them. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Y'all, let's get physical, physical. I want to get physical. We're going to talk about Michael. We're going to talk about Angela. And we're going to talk about the goofballs and Julia's workout audition, which is why I'm singing physical, when we get back from the commercial break.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report? What? Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself.
never be ashamed.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Okay.
I love when you think of something to ask me. You're like, no, I'm going to do it on the show.
Going to do it live. I just was singing. Physical therapy was coming, and every time physical therapy comes with my dad, I'm like, let's get physical.
How so proud he must be.
How God damn it, Matthew! Can't you just sing Johnny Cash? Boy Named Sue. I can sing that one.
Oh, our poor parents.
Poor parents. I watched a video just because I wanted to hear it and play it of the Olivia Newton-John physical.
You've never seen it?
I have, but have you watched that video since you've been an out and proud gay man?
I haven't, now that you talk about it.
I would watch it again because I went...
Is it just like Spank Bank material?
Oh, my. This is why I love this video. And it's so, you can tell almost half the guys in the video are just fucking queens. Because remember, there's the fit people and then there's the quote unquote out of shape people.
Right.
Remember? And it's very cartoonish. But even them, they're just like, we would have auditioned for that video at physical and probably got the like fat character people. Literally, it's just so over into cutting, like, I'm tired. But I watched it, but in the video, the out of shape people turn into the gorgeous Adonis men that are shirtless and oiled up. And I went, oh my God, this is why I love this video.
Oh, so I didn't watch it again. The same people.
Watch it again, and it's a gay awakening.
Oh, I've had many of those.
It's true. It's true.
My Knight Rider. Ooh. Knight Rider was part of my sexual awakening.
Remember talking to that car at Universal Studios. I was so proud.
No, the sexual awakening is David Hasselhoff, not the car.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
That's weird.
The car had a...
Did you want to fuck the car?
The car had a sexy voice. And I went to Universal Studios, and he knew my name, and I was surprised.
The
I didn't know
was
how.
Mr. Feeney. Hello, Michael.
Not familiar.
From Boy Meets World.
No, I do know that show.
People came at us, and we said that not the actor who played it, but we thought the Kit the Car was definitely gay.
Kit the Car from Knight Rider is gay. He just wants a man to get in him and ride his tight stick.
But y'all, Michael Knight. Look back at those pictures of David Hasselhoff. Damn.
He was a handsome man.
In between him and Albert from Little House on the Prairie.
Oh.
Ricky Schroeder.
Would you still fuck the Hoff?
Yes. Now or his
now,
in the 80s?
Now even with his new face?
No. It's too much.
What old celebrity would you fuck?
Hmm.
I would fuck quite a bit, I think.
I would fuck quite a bit, I think.
Stanley Tucci?
He's not that old.
He's not that old.
I would, in a second. He is so fucking hot. Have you seen that Stanley Tucci in Italy? Oh, yes. Yeah, you struck a nerve.
Oh, yeah, that's on Discovery Plus.
Take me to Italy.
So, no, but any 80 star who's now older, who's hot, would that necessarily is older, like in their 60s, you know,
because...
That were in their 40s and the 80s and now 60s.
Give me some. I will tell you if I would bang them. I would bang Victor Garber in a second.
Okay.
I'd bang Victor Garber.
He's not that old.
That's true. Well, I don't know how old you're talking about.
That's weird. I've met him. He was very nice.
I met him too. We're so gross. I met them.
actually, I would still fuck a lot. Like,
this is weird.
Anthony
Let's
Michael Hall. A lot of them still look good.
We're not, Victor Garber's older than Anthony Michael Hall.
You know who looks really good? He's 58, which isn't that much older than this.
Mark Harmon. Holy shit, y'all.
He looks great. And Andrew McCarthy. Oh my.
He looks good. Yeah.
All right. We got it.
We need to move on. I need to have sex. not until after my stomach flu is done, though.
Yeah, that's true, because it's going to be a bad.
No, I don't feel like being touched. I don't want anyone to touch me right now. Let's move on. We're stalling. Okay. Let's talk about Michael.
So Michael and Angela, Michael's basically, y'all, he's obviously in Nigeria, and
he gains weight during COVID like we all did.
And he said he's going to live life like a single man because that's what his friends are. And the goofballs come over to console him.
He says that she basically said, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. And he considers himself a free man, he said. So,
and one of his friends says, I never thought he would marry her. I don't find her attractive at all, but that's a personal choice.
I love the goofballs. I love the goofballs too. Day one.
And so Michael says, you know, I don't think I have a relationship. He tells them about the surgery, and he's like, he doesn't even talk about losing the weight. He does say she got a breast reduction. They're like, no, her gigantic boobie. It's like, yes, you know I love her boobie.
That was her one redeeming quality.
Maybe Angela is right. Maybe Michael did just completely focus just on her breast, and that she was just, that freaked her. She was just over it. Like that.
Yeah.
I kind of thought she was lying when she said that, but maybe she wasn't.
I think they're trying to make light of things. They're trying to support him a little bit. I think he does love her, and I think she does in some way love him. It's just a little weird. I liked it when the friends are basically saying, you're going to go when you go back to Angela, yes. like it's like a foregone conclusion. We want to know, are you going to go back as you or as a proud African man? Because that's what really gets them, that a woman bosses him around.
And they even talk about that. I mean, they say that she's bossing. He is not from that type of culture. And basically.
And given Angela is extremely bossy. I mean, I wonder what they would say with a woman who, like, I wonder what they would say about someone like Tiffany.
Well,
she's kind of bossy too, though.
I think they should be bossy too. I'll be interested to talk about this with, or we're going to just, we'll talk about it later, but after this, Angela goes sees her attorney, and her attorney kind of drops some truth bombs.
Yeah, Lou, who seems also to be a divorce attorney.
He is a divorce attorney, yes. So, Michael.
No, he was originally an immigration attorney.
I still think he's immigration. Maybe he does both, but I still think he's immigration.
Okay.
But maybe he's like a marriage contractual, like maybe. Matrimony. So.
Or maybe he's talking about the marriage side of immigration.
I forgot we're on camera and I just itched my butt.
Yeah,
sorry,
I know. Also, you looked away while I was talking and were so disinterested.
No, I was looking at my notes.
You went,
look away, baby, look away.
Don't look at me. I don't want you to see me cry.
When I call you up this morning, told you about the new love I found.
Such a foul.
Happy for you.
That's a great song. Is that song called Don't Look Away?
Yes.
Or Look
Away? I think we sang it before, actually. yeah, it's called Look Away.
I think we're like one of those hit stations in that's like the same 20 songs.
Yep, it's us. That's
You're like, wait, is this Ride With Me by Nelly again? Ugh, the fourth time this hour.
So Michael basically, so what we're finding out is, it's also, Michael says that, he told them about surgery, he said, but she insisted to do it. She said, she only told me about the surgery the day before, and then every time I tried to call, she would answer the call and was just shouting and screaming at me. So what we're finding out is that Angela said that Michael didn't support her. Rather, Angela never gave him the chance.
Yeah, I think the truth is...
Somewhere a little bit in the middle, but more on Michael's side.
Well, I agree. And I think people are going to explain how they felt by how they felt at the time. It's never going to be accurate on both sides what actually happened. I guarantee you Michael tried to call more than Angela thinks he did.
Yes, that she's made it up in her mind. Mm-hmm. Even one of the goofballs is like, here, let's practice. I love
their role playing.
This was great. And Michael's like, Michael starts to say, well, you know, Angela, and they immediately go into,
be out there with some girl, some hoochie, blah. And he's like, no. He's going to fail every time.
And basically his friends say, which is true, y'all, which is why it's toxic and it's abusive language that she uses and why he needs to leave, because I get it, you're a strong woman, that's great, but she doesn't let him have any say in this marriage at all. And his friends say that. How much input does Michael have?
Zero.
And that's the way Angela wants it.
Yep. She wants to control. Like it's not a two-way street at all.
I really think one of the biggest kind of foundations or the cornerstones of love is the selfless sacrifice, because you know it makes your partner happy. And Angela would never do that.
No.
Never.
She did get married in Nigeria for him.
She did, but she did that, but though, for her to get him there, because that's the only way that wasn't,
I guess,
totally.
I'm trying to think about.
Like, think about it. Name one selfish thing that, now Angela would tell you, well, I paid for him to come over
right,
here.
Right, but that's not
he
it.
He wants to come to America, but she wants to have her sexy Nigerian man to come over to the U.S. as well. Sissies, come at me. Name one thing. I can't think of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of it too. And I can't. It's all to kind of like further her aims. That's all I have on Michael. I have one question.
Yeah,
one of the goofballs has on a shirt when they were blurring something out, and it looked like to me it was Princess Diana's face.
I thought it was Tupac. I did not know.
But similar. It looked like either a child's face or Princess Diana.
I would love it if it was Princess Diana.
I don't know why it was blurred out, because it was a face it looked like.
God, I was so sad when she died.
But for some reason, my first thought was Princess Diana.
Now, Michael says he's not done with Angela, though. He still loves her.
I know.
He still wants to work it out.
So annoying.
But even his friend says, Michael, you've been adapting for 3 years.
You need change.
You need a better change. So do you want to talk about Angela real quick?
Yeah. So she's going to see Lou, and she says, Lou, I want a divorce.
Tip at Legal Services. Tip at Legal Services. If you decide you want to marry somebody from another country, we don't agree with it because that's not American, but we'll support you anyway.
Well, if we can.
Anyway, at Tippett Legal Services, if you need a divorce from somebody who screwed you over, we can do that too.
And we'll get you all the money we can.
All the money we can.
So also a notary public.
Yeah, also a notary, yes. He's actually one of the better attorneys on 90 Day
Fiancé. No, I like Lou. He sees things from, he does, especially with someone like Angela, he pulls her back from like craziness.
He sees everything from all sides very mm-hmm. well. And Angela comes in. She's like, well, Lou, I want a divorce. And
he's
Lou
like,
says,
well, and of course, she just starts telling him everything. He's with somebody. I don't know. I try to track his phone.
Y'all, can you imagine what the divorce lawyer heard from my father when my dad went in?
Just told everything to that lawyer.
Told everything, and they're just sitting there going, God, I was going to go to Hamburger Inn today, but I guess I'm not.
Even about his inflatable penis.
And then I pumped it up. She didn't like that either. She said, why does she get that when she don't ever use it?
One time you need to tell the story. I know we talked about it, but when your father's second wife, when your aunt's spied on her and threw a tracker under her car.
I'm telling you this now. I'm saving that for a live show. I'm saving it for a live show, but I will tell it.
Oh, God.
I will tell it. They told that story to Poodle when my Aunt Darla and Aunt Peggy came for my graduation.
My mouth was open. I was catching flies.
You laughed for a good 20 minutes.
I did. Isn't it funny how we get so much from where we come from our relatives, and they're such storytellers?
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm always, your answer that way.
Yeah.
A lot of Southern people, it's a narrative culture. It's a way to survive.
I don't know where it comes from. I'm sure there's books written on it, but I don't know. But it's very common.
I can only speak because I'm Southern. It's a very common thing what I see in Southern families. Because when I've been to other people's houses, I'm like, I'm telling stories, and they're just like, oh, and I'm like, you guys can tell when there's like, oh.
Well, a lot of people talk. I've noticed that I'm back more. People talk a lot about family and like heritage here and what your grandmother did, what your great grandmother did, which is kind of beautiful that you feel like these people. I've never been more connected to my grandmother Hazel and even my grandmother Maybelle even, but my grandma Hazel, since she died, I haven't been as connected to her as I am here because she's mentioned all the time in people a positive memory way.
Mm-hmm. But you only have the negative stories.
Oh, all my stories, those are hilarious. Double It brings me so much joy.
But I'm saying, I agree, but if they were to hear it, people laugh because they think, what a terrible person.
It's true. We really need someone to make like a Google spreadsheet of just stories that we told either about Aunt Jane or Aunt Darla. So then we have like a, you know...
Yeah, or content. Like my mother and my sister-in-law, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. We're not going to do it.
No.
So,
no.
She says, she's basically, she's saying, well, I had this surgery, and now I'm talking to him, and he's just talking differently to me. Like, he told me, fuck you.
She's
he
so insecure. Like that.
Y'all, God. You know what happens? What happens is, and this happens in the cycle of abuse, which is, it's abuse the way she talks to him, y'all. Michael's starting to stand up for himself.
Yeah.
And he's starting to set boundaries and say, you don't talk to me like that. I'm not going to listen to that. And Angela can't process, wait a minute, he's just standing up for himself. That has to mean he's fucking someone else and he's in love with someone
else. Right. Because things have changed. So it's not me. It must be him.
It can't be me. I can't be a fucking asshole right now. Never. Right.
No, you're dead on. Did you like it when Lou said, well, if you withdraw, if you do decide to get married, divorce, you will withdraw the visa? And she's like, but what if we get back together? Immediately.
Exactly. And, it's like, what?
And it's like it's like fifth graders.
It's all
again. When you get back together at recess.
Y'all, she's addicted to the drama.
Yep.
She needs the drama of it.
That's the thing we said. She's a reality star. You said this. She's a reality star 15 years ago.
Yes, but she's addicted to that drama. She also needs it. Lou says something really insightful as well. Lou said, you know, Michael has had 30 years of programming in a male-dominated society.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. And he said, in most situations, there needs to be some give and take. But he says it's so like an attorney, so just right in the middle of the road. Instead of saying Angela's a controlling, non-negotiating, being a horrible wife, he just says, Angela made it very clear that give and take is not up for negotiation with her.
Did you notice too when she said they'd have to, but anyways, they would have to get married again, so that everything would start all over. But you know, and she's like, "Are there other solutions that you've considered?" She's like, "I tried to track his phone," and Lou's like, "Maybe
a couples therapist."
Like that is a tactic for Angela.
Angela would never go to a couples therapist because she knows a couples therapist, because I've had clients like this. Angela is my least favorite type of client, especially in couples therapy, because she wants to go to couples therapy for
to be
the
told
therapist,
she's right.
To, for the therapist to validate her, not yep. to. And when I call them on their shit, guess what? They stop coming to therapy.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that you never see them again.
Yep.
That's like, I'll have
and
some
usually
clients.
The other person will say, thank you so much. They'll call me and tell me thank you. Or sorry, go ahead.
I'll have clients who are the same way, that they want you to agree with everything they're saying. And then when you do kind of push back, they can't take it. And they either accuse you of attacking them or ganging up on you or ganging up on them, and you never see them again because you did not give them what they wanted, and they're just going to look around for someone else to suck it out of.
Y'all, and if that happens to you in life, that's a gift. That's a gift.
I know. That person did you a favor.
That's a gift of you setting a boundary, and someone respected your boundary, and they realized it wasn't for them either.
Yeah, totally.
Walk on.
I like it how every time you sing a song, I think of the rock version. Because when you said walk on, I thought about the U2 one, and I don't think that is.
No, that's a Reba McEntire deep cut.
See, most people would know Walk On by U2.
I know that song, but I said this was on the B-side, I think, of Little Rock.
Wow.
Anyway, y'all.
Should we talk about Brandon and Julia the dancer?
Let's talk about Brandon and Julia. Okay.
She's picked out his clothes, y'all. And this was on, I don't know if you saw this, it was on Twitter. And it said they were driving along and he's got that black turtleneck sweater. And he's Steve Jobs in it. And someone said, Todd and Margot from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Now.
Yes, true. And I laughed a lot.
You wear turtlenecks. I don't think they're a good look.
Who somebody wore a turtleneck? Chase wore a turtleneck on Too Hot to Handle.
They look good on people with huge necks.
I love turtlenecks.
Yeah, for me.
I get too hot in them. I like it when I wear them. I like that when men wear them, I love a turtleneck.
I'm not a fan.
Maybe they're coming back in.
You've been saying that for years.
Don't know why.
I think they look good on people. I think you have to have a really long neck for them.
Mm-hmm.
And your neck has to be big. It's good if it's a thicker neck.
They look good on me because I have a longish, but I have a thick neck and a big old head. I like the way they look on me.
I think the ones that I've seen from you come
way
up.
Let me have this.
They come way up, so it looks like your head is like a.
But that's what a turtleneck does.
Uncircumcised penis.
That's what. What do you want me to do? Have like a little?
No, they. A lot of them step right here. You wear the turtlenecks that where your head just pops out of it.
Y'all, it's just because I look good in a turtleneck, and he can't admit it.
No, I like thinner ones. Yours are thicker, and they don't look good.
Y'all, I'm going to remind you that our Bi-Curious episode is we're talking about
with
a self-described
Corey, so thick bitch.
Back bitch. On
with
our
several C's.
Several C's. So they're going to look at apartments.
And she wants a washer dryer, y'all. She wants everything.
As soon as they walked into this apartment and I saw it, I went.
I bust out laughing.
They can't afford this
First
place.
Of all,
no
this,
way.
This, do you know what I'm going to say? This building manager, Nicholas, y'all, he looks just like my English TA I fucked my sophomore year.
Oh, God. Y'all, English
he was like 25.
This
kind of became
manager.
My first boyfriend-ish. Boy, he loved to talk about Nietzsche. Oh.
Where is he now?
I don't know. We blocked each other.
There you go. There you go.
He's probably, I don't know. He's probably preying on another still, as a professor, he's probably preying on another younger.
Well, but you were of age.
Yeah, I was 19.
And he was how old?
Like 24, 25.
Woo.
It's not good. Now, I thought it was the hottest thing in the fucking world.
Have you ever, you never, when you were TA, you never were with your students, were
No, never with my students. No. But remember the story? I think I told it on here once where I was 26, 27, and I was out at some North Texas party. And it was some music people, and then we went to another party where it was more general pop, gen pop. And I basically went home with another guy. And I found out he was 20 years old, and his roommate was one of my students.
I'm uncomfortable
now. And the guy who was my student, like, never looked to be the same again. I'm red. I'm sorry. It was very embarrassing. I couldn't have known.
I'm just kind of doodling on a pad because I can't look you in the eye right now.
I didn't know. First of all, he did not look 20. We weren't giving out our ages. I did not look 20, 25, 26 at the time. You know, my phase. I looked very young, very lesbian. Yes.
Y'all, okay.
Not very good sex, too.
Ugh. Okay. I knew they couldn't afford this place. And yes, he is hot. He is your type.
So, y'all, if you want to know what my type is, well, almost all guys. But that guy,
y'all, if you give him good pot, he might let you suck his dick. Ugh. And he might
and it's huge, too.
He might let you stay in an apartment for like 2 weeks.
So they're asking things, and Julia's like, it's got a game room. Maybe we could put a game room.
She's the worst person to go apartment or shopping with, because she's like, oh my God, it's so wonderful.
And remember, she's found this place, and she's forgotten the price, or she hasn't asked. Again, non-realistic. So Brandon's like, I think it's like too much space. He's like, how much is it? He's like, $1,800 a month. Now, for a 3-bedroom apartment, that's not bad.
Well, but this is also, where is this?
Richmond.
Well,
Virginia.
That's a big town.
Yeah.
That's not bad. But Julia goes, wait, 80? She's like, $80? And he's like, no. No. And she's like,
count on your hands, Julia.
And I get it. She's learning, but 1-800? And he's like, yes. And that's when Brandon pulls a mother Betty and says, I think this is a little too big for our needs. And he starts slowly trying to backstep. Yeah.
And then she says to him, she's like, thank you to for showing me dreams.
She says,
and
that
thank
to the realtor.
You for broke my dreams.
Yes, she said to the realtor, yeah. And then to Brandon, thank you for breaking my dreams.
I love, she's.
And he was just kind of, the realtor went,
okay, see you later, man. I'll speak to you. I'm going to go smoke a doobie. I will say she would be really annoying in real life, but I enjoy watching her on TV.
I do. She's good TV. She's good TV. So she's going to go get a job, y'all, because they're driving home, and she's like,
they're driving on a highway, and they didn't get the apartment they wanted. Don't look back, because it's $1,800.
You're going to feed the animals.
Someone's dog walked out of the room on that one.
Yeah. And so here's the deal, y'all, is that she's like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't live with your parents. I can't live with the animals. I need job. I can't tell you how tired I'm living with his parents. I need to start looking for a job. And so that's what she decides. So the next day, or the next time we see them, y'all, she's going for a job interview.
And I'm like, great. Wonder what she's going to do. Maybe she's going to work wedding coordinator stuff and work with that.
And
she's going to gym club.
Because she asked Brandon, can you go with me? And he's like, I can't go with you in the interview.
Like she told someone when they needed to lose weight, just go to the gym club.
Just go to gym club. So
she's going to be a dance. I could be a dance teacher. I could be a strength trainer. Because she was showing her go-go dancing. And we were seeing a little bit of him like, I think go-go dancing, yes, it is a skill. It is a specific skill to do that. But I don't know if that's going to be club. She's not going to do Zumba.
Well, and I was looking at her go-go dancing. She does not seem like a trained dancer.
Mm-mm.
She just like seems to like dance for fun.
Yeah.
That's not a trained dancer. And Doesn't matter because she's going into this. And Brandon's kind of like, yeah, I'm a little worried that her dancing might be a little too much for
them. A little risque for Richmond.
And so Julia walks in and she meets the owner and she said, I'll do anything. I'll clean. I'll teach. Whatever you want. And the owner says, okay, well, great. Well, this is kind of what we're looking for. Someone who teaches dance and mainly shows them moves that they can do and they
this
feel are
David.
Attainable.
Who is this lovely queen who owns
Lovely queen. They're at a crunch.
They're at a motherfucking crunch.
There is no gayer gyms than crunch.
Oh, that is the truth.
No
what,
gayer.
The things that go on in a crunch steam room are unspeakable.
Y'all, if gay men could get pregnant in steam rooms, there would be about 10,000 people with a child named Crunch.
And that was the name they had it on.
Why'd you name him Crunch? You know,
that was where he was conceived.
It came to us, literally, in that steam room.
Came in me.
A butt baby.
So, Julia says, okay, well, she's like, yes, I can do, I work. And he's like, great. Well, do you want to show me what you can do?
She's like, oh, I'm nervous. And then she puts on her heels.
And as soon as she puts on her heels, and you could see David kind of go, working out.
Tell me more.
Tell me what?
How is this going to work?
So here's the deal with David. As a gay man, he loves her and thinks she's fabulous. But as a gym owner, he's like, there's no way in hell she
can
work
I get her out of here?
Yes. Yeah. So he is fighting a battle from two things that love.
Because he obviously wants to dance like her and to do the...
He wants to be her.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
True.
So she says, what we want you to do is a little strength training, which I'm sure they can probably teach her how hard... but you do have to be certified, which we find out later. It's a little strength training. And then we're going to have you do a dance combo, and you show... He's like, so let's see what you got. She then proceeds to do what you've seen in like a Pussycat Dolls video.
Yes.
When I grow up, I want to be a movie, maybe a famous. And she's like, and then you touch your body.
And then you just start being sentient. Y'all, it reminded me of, we have a friend who did a
comedy.
We have a friend.
If you're on the intimate portrait, you just got a video. Woo! Yes. Woo! Ooh, you can see my shoulders too.
A lot of
I'm
people
starting to feel better.
Oh, wow. God. Did you have a drink tonight? You're drunk, aren't you?
No,
I knew
I'm
that
not.
Was vodka you're drinking. He hasn't drank in like 5 days.
I haven't drank in like 4 or 5 days. So I don't know. You know what? I've had barely anything and I'm feeling a little tipsy.
Great. So it reminded me of y'all. I'm not going to go into the whole story because it's her story to tell, but we have a friend who's an actor who used to do. Who talked about terrible auditions, and she talks about she lived in Florida, and she talked about how she went to audition for the Mickey Mouse Club when she was 10 years old. And everybody, everybody is like, hi, my name's Jennifer. My name's Jill. I'm going to be singing Someday My Prince Will Come. Our friend was like, she grew up Puerto Rican, Cuban in Miami, and she fucking did the dance from Cold Hearted Snake
by Miss Paula Abdul.
And she even said, she's like, my name is blah, 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 and I'll be performing Cold Hearted Snake by Miss Paula Abdul. And she did the dance, and she said all the judges were just like, gong. And I think that this is the same. David was just like, what the fuck is happening with here? And then he said, look, so we'll have to get you some certifications. I don't know. You're probably not going to get a job, but we should have drinks.
He just said, let's go get a drink. Honey, we're going to do girl
Cosmo.
Talk. I liked it when he's like, you can't probably go on the floor because that's not really something we do.
Because our 40-year-olds with knee problems, a.k.a. us, they can't do that quickly.
I think with a little coaching, she probably could be a good teacher.
I actually think this is the best job thing for her.
Wedding
planner.
I will say, you guys, there is a big difference between being a dancer and being a dance teacher, if you know that, because you have to be very patient.
Being a dance teacher, but also being a personal training. You're a personal trainer. You're doing this workout. You're usually doing it backwards.
Yep.
You're telling them how to do it. You're describing it. She's going to have to work at it because she's going to have to get
it's hard.
Language to describe how to move your body, how it feels in English. Yeah. Which she's not great at.
Yeah, this is going to be really hard for her. That's all
I hope
got.
It happens more and we get to see it because I enjoyed it.
I enjoy it. I think they're completely happy. I think a lot of things are manufactured. I think they probably get along with the parents pretty well.
I think so too.
I think they're just a very benign couple a lot of times. It's actually a little boring when the parents aren't around.
It is.
But that's all I've got. That's the
actually
show.
The most boring when it's Brandon and Julia. Because when Julia's like on her own discovering parts of the U.S.
It's interesting.
It's interesting.
It's Brandon. Brandon is what sucks all the oxygen out of the room. Just,
Brandon and Julia are boring together.
Agreed. Anyway.
Y'all, that's the show.
That's the show.
Happily Ever After. You can go to realitygatespodcast.com to find out everything that's going on with us. Hit us up on Cameo, Twitter. Our 90 Day Foodie Call episode is going to drop soon, our third episode. That's on our Instagram, Reality Gaze Podcast. Poodle.
Yes.
We call these people lonely hearts.
Yes.
Because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
And y'all, if you see me walking by and the tears are in my eyes, look away. Baby, look away. If you're on the street someday and I don't know what to say, look away, baby, look away. Don't look at me. I don't want you to see me cry.
No, that's not how it ends.
See me this way?
See me this way.
Sorry.
It rhymes.
That makes sense. Right.
You just call us, y'all.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.